On this last Sunday of pre-Lent, that is Quinquagesima Sunday as it's known in the West, this last Sunday before the beginning of our great Lenten journey, we are confronted and in fact encounter in our gospel lesson the cry of the heart. The cry of the heart. And as we prepare for our Lenten exercises, one of which is confessions, I want us to ponder this morning, to consider this cry of the heart as a prayer. This past Friday evening, Maria, Pamela, and I went over to St. James to make our confessions, and I'm glad Father Timothy was more disciplined about that than I am, in terms of getting that done even before we start hearing other confessions. And we ended up staying for a short Acatis service. It was a beautiful evening. It was an Acatis prayer to St. John the Wonder Worker, St. John Maximovich, who also is revered not only as one who was a big proponent of the Western Rite, but also is seen in Orthodoxy as restoring the Western saints to the church. And so that was a blessed time, but we Pam and I reflected on the fact that there's none of us that has any real joy about preparing for confession. In fact, I think all of us, if we're really honest, have a great deal of trepidation and just the feeling that perhaps, can we really trust our spiritual father? Will we be judged? I got to confess that again. And on it goes. But Pam and I both agreed that is one of the most liberating things that we can have. It's one of the most profound manifestations of God's grace. To go with a cry of the heart, and to receive healing, to receive forgiveness and absolution of our sins. And in the gospel lesson this morning, from the Gospel of St. Luke, we also have Jesus giving the disciples very clear and explicit insight into the things that are going to be happening as they prepared to go through Jericho, which was often representative of the world, and as they began their ascent to Jerusalem, and it would be their last time together before our Lord's passion and crucifixion and death. And Jesus doesn't put it in parabolic terms, but rather he's very clear and specific in verse 31 of Luke chapter 18. He took him aside and he said, "Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man will be accomplished. For he will be delivered to the Gentiles and will be mocked and insulted and spit upon. They will scourge him and kill him, and the third day he will rise again." Jesus has laid it out for them. Not in metaphorical or euphemistic terms, but he says it very plainly and clearly. And yet it says in verse 34, "But they understood none of these things. This saying was hidden from them." You see, what we have here is St. Luke presenting in this journey up to Jerusalem the juxtaposition between the blindness, the spiritual blindness of the 12, and the spiritual sight of a physically blind man. But I want us to just flip back to Mark's gospel in the same telling of this, because there's a detail there that I want us to see. And this is, by the way, this healing is recorded in all the synoptic gospels, that is Matthew, Mark, and Luke, all tell this story. This is from Mark chapter 10, beginning in verse 46. "Now they came to Jericho, And as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. This is the cry of the heart. Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. The reason I wanted to read it from Mark's gospel is because Mark is the only of the evangelists who gives us this man's name. This man was Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus, Bar, was a Semitic term for son of. So Bartimaeus literally means son of Timaeus. But Timaeus was a Greek name. And in fact, 350 years before this event happened, the great Greek philosopher Plato wrote one of his dialogues that was entitled Timaeus. And in that, there was a fictional character of Timaeus that, in which they were dialoguing about the cosmological worldview and creation and what the universe meant. And at the essence of this dialogue of Timaeus was the truth that it is by perception and specifically by sight by which we begin to gain knowledge. And so I think that there is a, while this man, certainly Bartimaeus, was an actual historical man, there is an irony here with his name. He was the son of Timaeus. That is, the son of one who, with eyesight, was able to obtain knowledge. But here was Bartimaeus, who was blind, who did not have sight, and yet lacked more spiritual sight than even the 12 followers of Jesus. A man who in his infirmity, a man who sat in darkness, total darkness, but a man who was relegated to having to beg by the roadside, to just be able to eat. His only worldly item was his cloak. But as he cried out with that cry of the heart, Jesus, son of David, which became really the first recording of that messianic title for Jesus, son of David. Jesus, son of David, that is Jesus, son of God, or Jesus, Lord, have mercy on me. But we see that the people who were following Jesus began to rebuke him and tell him, be quiet. We don't need beggars crying out to this man. He's important. But he cried out all the more. He was not deterred by the voices. And he cried out all the more with that Jesus prayer. This is, in fact, the essence of the Jesus prayer. Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Know my blindness. Know my plight, my poverty, my having to beg, my never having to have seen the face of anyone. Have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded that he be called, and saying to him, be of good cheer, rise, he is calling you. And throwing, in this verse 50, and throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. That is, there's a theological significance in here. This man who had the only possession in the world, his cloak, his garment, threw it aside at the call of Christ. And Jesus answered and said to him, what do you want me to do for you? And the blind man said, Rabboni, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said to him, go your way. Your faith has made you well. and the man's sight was restored. He was healed. And immediately it says he received his sight and he followed Jesus on the road. He left all. He left every earthly possession he had in the world, his garment, on that road along Jericho, in order to present the cry of the heart and with faith receive the healing presence of God, of Christ in his life, such that his physical sight was restored, that he would become a follower of Jesus. And while we don't know any more, anything else about Bartimaeus, it is a powerful story as we embark upon our Lenten exercises. A powerful story that we should behold and appropriate in our own lives. Because I think if we are really honest, if we, for instance, the fact that we have trepidation about going to confession, or the fact that we just need to punch the ticket or go through the motions, is an indication, if we're honest, that we ourselves suffer from a certain spiritual blindness. Because if we had the spiritual sight of Bartimaeus, if we had that spiritual sight, then we would see every darkness, every sin, every unconfessed impulse that has controlled us or kept us in bondage. We would have a cry of the heart. And not only would we be running to confession, but we would be in his presence at every service, at every mass, at every opportunity to be at the feet of our Lord and to behold his healing grace and presence. And like blind Bartimaeus, restoring our sight. This Jesus prayer, this story of Bartimaeus is something that a great prayer warrior of our time, the Archbishop Metropolitan Anthony Bloom, who's written a couple of works on prayer, cites as an example for us. And this is an excerpt from his work called Living Prayer. Archbishop Anthony writes, "We can learn from Bartimaeus in our practical approach to prayer that when we turn to God wholeheartedly, God always hears us. Usually when we realize that we can no longer depend upon all that we are accustomed to find reliable around us, we are not ready to renounce these things. We can see that there is no hope as far as human earthly ways are concerned. We are aiming at something. We search for our sight, and we are constantly frustrated. It is torment and hopelessness, and if we stop there, we are defeated. But if at that moment we turn to God, knowing that only God is left, and say, 'I trust thee,' and commit into thy hands my soul and body, my whole life, then despair has led us to faith. Despair is conducive to a new spiritual life when we have got the courage to go deeper and farther, realizing that what we are despairing about is not the final victory, but the means we have employed to reach it. Then we start at rock bottom in quite a new way. God may bring us back to one of the means we have already tried, but which under him we may be able to use successfully. There should always be real cooperation between God and man, and then God will give intelligence, wisdom, power to do the right thing and achieve the right goal." Brothers and sisters, what I am declaring to you is that the right thing, the right goal for us as we prepare to embark on our Lenten journey is a life hidden in Christ. To leave behind those cloaks, the cares, the worries, the anxieties, the pleasures of this life. and to go to Jesus, to hear his call, to receive a restoration of our spiritual sight as we continue to follow him, even to the cross. The cry of the heart. Let the cry of the heart to Bartimaeus be our cry at this Lenten season and at every moment of the day. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.